What's
the title of
this thing? No title again?
Is it rolling, Bob?
Yeah, check. There'll be no bell with this this clip. It's Thursday night. It is 10:30. This is the leading up to the weekend of the Marshall McLuhan Podcast Roundtable in Hamilton. And, in fact, I've just finished listening to the episode Anthony, Greg, and Dave put out about this very event, which I'm looking forward to. I'll be there tomorrow. First gathering is officially planned for around 5 p.m., but no doubt there'll be some people meeting up before then. Perhaps a pre-supper drink. Sorry, there's a fan noise in the background. And it is because I am, as usual, lying in the back of the road track. Only this time, my kitty cat is with me. Today we had a downpour, like a thunderstorm, and just buckets of rain coming down. And, of course, I always feel sorry for our stray cat, Torta. But I managed, when the rain stopped, he came up, had his supper. And a bowl of milk after that, so he's okay. And our own cat, Yuki, really likes to, was frightened by the storm, but just still likes to be outside. So is now grooming herself. She's been very wet and gotten dirty. So there's your cat update, I'm sorry. Some of you are not interested, that's okay, but it means a lot to me that, you know, I'm lying here listening to this, and suddenly out the window, she knows to come to the rear window, which is always cracked open, and meow, and say, hey, I'm out here, let me in. And I go to the front and open the door, and she bumps her head and then comes right up. It's quite lovely. This is like just a little extra house for her while it's here in the driveway. Anyway, I got stuff to do to prepare for tomorrow. I think I've got my liquor, I've got my snacks and chips and stuff. Now, here's the thing, as Anthony is fond of saying, here's the thing. I wasn't going to record at all. The recording was going to be just of that weekend. But then I realized, no, this is really, as you know, an audio journal, and things happen during the week leading up to that particular event. So there's never really an official start and finish time. Like, it's not, this is never just one thing. They blend one into another and this day into that. So, in other words, I've given myself permission to record now before the start of it, and maybe the bulk. Maybe I'll record quite a bit while I'm there. Probably even have enough for two recordings. It depends how much alone time I need, because I only do record when I'm alone. That'll be times when, like, the party's over and Saturday night I'm lying here, half drunk. Anyway, Barnacle Bill just left today. Barnacle Bill, as you know, my friend at West, the fellow I fight with quite often, and actually we had a very enjoyable stay with laughter and smiles and absolutely no fighting. And that was important to have that time, because as you may have heard, I don't know how much I shared, but a bit of a falling out last year when I was supposed to be going up to the Northwest Territories, meet up in Northern Alberta, and changed my mind and kept my teaching job at the college, and he wasn't happy about having his summer plans ruined and so on. And then I seemed to have made it more and more difficult, even the whole concept of traveling anywhere together, even though he's been a camping buddy in way in the past. Now, what was nice was, I guess, the we met. I'm going to go through this, so forgive me, because this is what it is. We met 5 o'clock at the Loosey Goosey, or the Loose Moose, for a couple of drinks on Tuesday. Now, he was supposed to have booked tickets for Wednesday night Blue Jays game. And Tuesday, I had my Cabbage Band Society, free booze, free sushi, just great event. And got to see Bruce on the Wednesday. And suddenly I get an email very early, or a text very early in the morning. The game's tonight. Sorry. He had booked the wrong night, which is very unusual, although he's a year older than I am. You know, us seniors can make mistakes like that. But he just had the dates wrong. Found out when he got a reminder from StubHub, because he might not have even known. He might have shown up Wednesday with tickets for Tuesday's game. Anyway, fortunately, he was able to make it. My wife couldn't make it. My son couldn't make it. We gave the extra ticket to Brian, the Nunavut man. And the three of us went, and Bruce and Brian know each other, so we had a great time. And on top of that, it was a wonderful game. The Blue Jays won. I mean, they were down 6-1, and then 6-3, and then a rally, and it was great. All right, sorry. Maybe that's kind of boring. In fact, I know it is. I'm just telling events. But I guess what I want to get underneath that, it was fun. And we came back here. Here's the thing. We came back here. It was late. My wife is sleeping in the basement because we have no air conditioning. This is another story altogether. And let's say it's created considerable amount of tension in the home that why isn't this thing fixed yet? And didn't I talk about getting it fixed? Maybe I ended the last podcast with that. I don't know. But things got tense. So my wife has had to move down to the basement where it's cooler because she's got to work and, you know, stuff like that. And the husband is supposed to be taking care of things like this. And I fell a bit short on that. Anyway, we came back after the game, and if you go, okay, we can't bother. So we came into the road trek for the first time with Barnacle Bill. We both sat back here, poured him a scotch, I had water, put on the air conditioner, and just had a very comfortable time. And then my cat decided to join us, and Barnacle Bill is a cat person. He had up to 8 at one point, was present at the birth of many of them, all with unusual names. And anyway, he's down to none now. So he was quite happy to meet our two cats. And it was just a very pleasant little time. Now, back to the problem of the furnace, air conditioner. My feeling is, I only want to get the guy in who fixed this. Who installed it for us. He knows the machine. He knows what's going to go wrong. He was very personable. He gave us a good price. I trust him. I want him. I don't want to just call some company and say, send a technician over, and you never know what they're going to tell you. But when I phoned Jeremy Cohen of Cohen Mechanical Services, he kind of laughed, and they're really busy. There's no way. Didn't know when he'd be able to get out here. So I called again the next time, and under considerable pressure from my wife, who meanwhile had called the thermostat people. I mean, it's a thermostat problem, got calls back from them. Meanwhile, a friend gives her the name of another technician who is available to come, and I'm trying to hold off. And not everybody thinks I'm, you know, not everybody in my family thinks I took quite the right approach, but in my mind, no. I'm sticking with this guy. He's a local business guy. So I called him a third time and said, look, if you can't make it, just let me know, because it's hurting my marriage right now. It's come down to that. And let me know if you can't, and I'll call somebody else. But I'd really rather you came. And sure enough, I get a text back from him. All right, have you changed the filter yet? Well, no. All right, change the filter, call me back. Most of the time, that's the problem. Well, it wasn't the problem. I did change the filter. That's another story, but we'll leave that one. He said, all right, I'll be there 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's Friday. Now, I'm thinking he's going to say, well, I can come up there 6 o'clock Friday after work, and that's when I want to be eating supper in Hamilton. And I'm thinking, well, gee, my wife is going to go out that night. What am I just going to abandon the family, go down to Hamilton, leave the family for another weekend with no air conditioning? My son is suffering, too. He's got a job now. He's got to go to work. Is this more just indifference and selfishness on my part? I guess what I'm not getting across very well is that I go my gut instinct when I make these things, and not everybody understands that. I got to go with a feeling. And my feeling is, I don't want to call somebody else. I want to go with this guy. He's my guy. And I think it paid off. Like, by the time I, you know, texted, he's okay. I'll be there 7 in the morning. You know, before he starts on the other bigger jobs that he's got that cost, worth more for him. He said, hopefully we can fix it right away. So, as far as I'm concerned, I handled this well. It was in the middle of a heat wave. The guy was very busy, but I stuck to my guns. So I'm getting my guy. My wife, I guess, is not always happy with my performance as a husband. And by that, I'm talking about the traditional role of a husband in keeping things working around the house. And you know, I fail at that, and I take comfort in the fact that Brian is as bad or even worse than I am at that. I took great delight today, as did my son, when we looked out our front door and saw the water from this torrential downpour coming out the spout and flowing right onto the lawn the way it was supposed to. Now that we have cleaned the eaves trough properly when my wife was in Vancouver, because prior to that they were blocked and it was just the eaves trough would overflow, and it would just come down in a sheet across the front steps. You couldn't get in or out of the house. Now we have a working eaves trough. Something is done. And so it's kind of like, I want some credit. Okay, it's not that I don't do anything. It's just that I'm slow doing these things. And I like to do it with a good feeling. I don't know. Does this make sense to anybody? Because basically, it comes out like I'm in the wrong. I'm being selfish. I'm being stubborn. I'm just thinking of myself. And I'm not getting this problem dealt with immediately. And of course, then we get under the, well, what about the front step? You're going to do that this year, and it's not done. And no, it's not done. And I don't have a good feeling about that, and I won't until the fall. But how long can I go on this way, doing things my way? At what price? How much abuse can I take? You know, the verbal abuse, the cold shoulder for, you know, being so long, so slow, so incompetent. So, part two of this story. It relates. I hope you're still with me. Today. Alright, I gotta get some stuff. We need supper. I'll go out. I'll let my wife know I'm going out. Alright, get something for supper. Good, no problem. Get chicken or something. I go to the local shopping mall, but mostly I go because I just want to get chips and nuts and snacks for this time in Hamilton. We're going to have a big party up at Anthony's place in the backyard. I want to be able to go to the road trip, pull out a bag of chips. Anybody want some poutine chips? Anyone want some maple-flavored chips? You know, that kind of thing. So that's what I'm thinking about. Again, selfish. I'm thinking about not the family's dinner. I'm thinking about chips I want to share with friends, people I haven't even met yet. Anyway, she calls. I say, oh, I'll get something. Don't worry about it. Get the car loaded up. Got 24 ice cream bars in there. I better get home. Turned on the engine in the parking lot right outside the store, Freshco. Car cuts out and dies. I know right away. Oh, I bet you I'm out of gas. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, wasn't that thing flashing couple of days ago? I was supposed to get gas. I completely forgot about it. Yeah, I got 3 vehicles here to keep tabs on, and the other 2 are full. The little Toyota controls are in the center. They're not in the driver's side. They're in the center. I never see the gas thing. It just, you know, flicks, little flicker of a bar. Well, I ran out. I got ice cream melting in the back of the car. I figure I can call ACAA, I've got the pass, but hasn't this happened? Isn't this at least the 3rd time, maybe the 4th, that I've run out of gas in that car? I'm not feeling bad about it. I'm thinking, okay, I'm not on the road, I'm not blocking traffic, I'm not far from home, I'm at the mall, it's 4:30, my wife calls. Again, this is about the supper thing. And I say, oh, by the way, she said, I got to go, I'm busy. But she'd call just to check on the supper. I said, by the way, I ran out of gas. Where are you? I'm at the mall. Well, I could be there in half an hour. Because what else are we going to do? She's going to come and get me. So I go into the mall, stays in the air conditioned. I wait half an hour. Text a few people, listen to a podcast, listen to the Keith McNally, how to write a novel. She calls. She's outside the mall. I go out there. She says, what happened? I said, well, I ran out of gas. Well, what do we need to do? I said, well, we got to go. Just got to go up to the gas station. I got to see if we can find one. And I've heard rumors that they don't like to lend any gas containers anymore. They don't return them or whatever. You got to put down a large deposit. And I'm thinking, okay, who's going to have that? She says, okay, we're right at the mall. There's a Petro Canada right exactly at the next block over. Like, it's right there. And I'm thinking, okay, they're not going to have it. It's just a little one. It's always usually one girl behind the counter. They're not going to have one of these big jerry cans. It's just not going to work. But, all right, it's close. Go there anyway. I walk in. She said, how are you today? I said, well, not so good. I ran out of gas. Do you have these things you can rent or I can pay a deposit? She said, no. We just sell them. And I'm thinking, oh. Well, how much are they? You know, I think they're a bit expensive. I'm thinking, okay, well, how expensive? Like, I'm thinking 25, 30 bucks? Oh, I think it's $11.50. She shows me. There's a beautiful little plastic 5-liter container. It's got the nozzle. It's got a good screw cap. You can pull the nozzle out of the thing, pour it in. It works perfectly. $11.50 or something. She said, just go fill it up and then pay me for both. So I go in, fill it up, put in my $7 worth of gas, pay for the thing. And I'm really happy. Like, wow. Was that ever easy? Like, I'm only half an hour waiting at the mall. I go to the first station. They've got something. It's really cheap. I've got myself a gas can. So I came out and made the mistake of saying something. I said, I had to buy a gas can, but it's okay. It's going to happen again. And that was exactly the wrong thing to say. It's going to happen again. She was furious. And I'm thinking, in my mind, gee, Ken, you are on a lucky streak. To me, lucky means running out of gas and solving the problem within half an hour. And then getting a neat little gas container to boot, which hardly cost anything. To me, this is a good day. Like, honestly, that's how I think. In her mind, this is the third, the fourth time you've run out of gas. You said you're going to do it again. That means you don't care. That means you never check the gauge. You want it to happen again. No. And I'm trying to explain how I see things. And she is not seeing it that way at all. And I'm thinking, all right, is this the Japanese side, that Japanese people don't like to make mistakes? And they certainly don't celebrate the mistakes the way I seem to be celebrating this thing. Or is it because she's female and I'm male and males have a different way of looking at it? Or is it because she's 14 years younger than me and I'm old and getting stupider by the year, by the day, by the month, whatever? And she's worried this is just going to continue to happen? I get home, tell my son about it, and say, well, this is, Mom's really mad. I'm feeling god-off lucky. And I'm sort of, I pose it to my question, like, is that her Japanese-ness? Or, and my son kind of leaned towards her side. Like, you got some guy coming to fix this air conditioner who's going to rip you off. And I'm saying, he's not going to rip me off. He's just, he's getting paid. He runs his old business. He's trained for this. He knows what he's doing. Whatever he charges me, it'll be fair. And my son's frustrated because he couldn't fix it and he wouldn't know anything, you know. He knows he can't, you know. He doesn't know enough about it, but feels, you know, frustrated. Too bad he couldn't. But he's not impressed with my philosophy of everything worked out so well. When, I guess he's more of the Japanese side of, well, number one, you shouldn't have run out of gas to start with. And you should have had this air conditioner problem solved earlier. Because it seems that you don't really care about your mom and me. Like, we're really hot upstairs in these rooms. And it's as if you're only thinking about yourself. And I guess the conversation ended with me calling upstairs and say, Dan, I'm glad I was able to share that with you, and I really do appreciate your, even if I disagree with you, I appreciate, I guess, being able to have this kind of conversation. I listen to you, and I do. So I'm just putting that out to you, the listener, and saying that some people might side with me and think it's kind of funny. I guess I tried to explain, Dan, that's how I've got through life. It works for me. This business of positive thinking, the turning a bad thing into a good thing. Jeremy's coming tomorrow. We got to begin on them in the midst of his busiest time. We're going to get our aircon back. Don't worry about it. It'll be done for the weekend. I'll be able to leave guilt-free and go to Hamilton without feeling like a shit for leaving my wife behind, my son, in a non-air-conditioned house because I wasn't persistent enough or aggressive enough or didn't want to take a chance on a contractor I didn't know. Anyway, that's enough. That's a start. I think Yuki brought me once out, and I've probably told you more than enough. I wasn't going to do any of that, but what the hell I did. So there you go. The Scarborough dude said his piece. Got it out of my system. Shared it with you. And let me know what you think. Am I a jerk? I'm just a guy trying to get through life as best I can. And that I've done the best I could. Signing off. wires out of the way. There, that was a good one. Okay, now put it back in place. There we go. My iPhone plugged in. I think I'll turn it so it's not facing you. There we go. And now, I'm going to go back to bed. As I work my way to the back of the cell. Got my sleeping bag all laid out in my bed. It's been a while. It's a comforting thing to do. Yep, I've done this before. You let down the curtains in the back. So that place is enclosed. You know, people walking by, walking their dogs by the sidewalk in the morning won't see anything in here. All right. First night of the Marshall McLuhan Podcaster Roundtable. We think it's the fifth year, if you count Vox Pop as the first one. Could be wrong on that. Some discussion going on. Anyway, it was a very pleasant evening. It was relaxing. It's not like the old days when you just, you know, people got roaring drunk both nights. No, I'm not even sure if that ever happened. But I know. I think I had a total of 3 beer and a Spanish coffee over the course of 6 hours. That's not a whole lot. And that's all I felt, like a little toke, of course. After supper, it was lovely. The start off was lovely. Arrived here just in time. It's a slow drive. It, you know, what was a 90-minute drive took 2 hours, but just in time for Anthony to sail down the hill and meet people that, God, I don't even remember the name of the place. Across the street from where we were eating, anyway. It was great. He climbed in the window, formica tables right on the sidewalk. It was lovely. It was just like the perfect opening. It was just so relaxing, so great. And they got decent beer on tap. Wow, how easy does it get? How nice is this? And then gradually people just trickled in. And then made our way off for dinner. Anyway, I'm not very good at giving the blow-by-blow description of the whole thing. I'm just saying it felt good. And then during the course of the evening, there are people who I don't know as well, including Big Jason and, of course, his girlfriend Penelope and Oliver Rockslide. These are people I don't know, and some, of course, for the first time, and Steve Cloutier was there. The usual suspects from previous years. So, of course, off to the one Duke at the end. And just conversations. And that's what it's all about. And I sure hope, I have the feeling this weekend is going to finish too soon. It'll be time to say goodbye. Wow, that went fast. Because I think all of us I've been looking forward to this for quite a while. And time just gets spent. And there are many more things to discover, things to learn, things to share. But certainly I'm delighted, thrilled about the way it all started. Listen, I've got to go back a little bit to the beginning of this podcast when I talked about how annoyed my wife was for me for already giving myself a pass the next time I run out of gas, because, hey, doesn't matter, I've got a little gas can now. And she was right. It's stupid to make mistakes like that. Now, I had a point there. Oh, yes. I am the kind of person who does need to be nagged. Nagged is probably not a good term to use, but it sort of feels like that. If I'm not told more than once, things won't get done. If my wife had not pushed and complained about the heat and letting me know that she had to work and was suffering from the broken air conditioner, like, when is the guy going to come? Had she not pushed, I wouldn't have pushed. Now, I pushed gently to the guy who did it, and he came today. $450 later, we have a working air conditioner. Everybody's happy. Well, except for paying the bill. But it was done. It got done. And so I could drive to Hamilton guilt-free, not leaving my wife and son in the house and no air conditioning, and me off here playing. But I guess the only point I wanted to make was I am a bit of a slouch when it comes to just doing things. And she's all, yeah, I mean, I was supposed to do something or plan something about the front step. But it's such a monumental job that I don't want to approach it all the time. It's right. And it gets back down for me living by feelings. Like, okay, what's it feel like? What are the vibes of the person who might come and give a quote, you know? How do you feel about that? Is that going to be a good relationship? Are you going to be happy to give that person the money? Or is it going to be a bitter experience, like the guy who came and fixed the flashing on our roof for a ridiculous amount of money for a 15-minute job? Anyway, I'll park that there. It's time. It's a quiet night. It's only midnight. Everybody is back in their places and scattered about the city. It's quite wonderful, the fact that Brent sort of lives here now, because his lady friend does. And he's got a whole new life and start. We might be doing tomorrow's the live podcast tonight. I was a little apprehensive about that. You ought to do something good. But I think we should do a gabbage. And I think we will. All right. Signing off now. My voice is sounding awful. I got a good night's sleep, so I'm full of beans tomorrow. Scarborough Dude. Signing off. Bye-bye. Oh, shout out to Normal Jason. We miss you. Wish you were here with us. Bye for now.
Bluebird flying high, tell me what you say. If you could talk to me, what news would you bring? Of voices in the sky. Nightingale hovering high, harmonize the wind. Darkness, your symphony, I can hear you sing. Of voices in the sky. Just what is happening to me? I lie awake with the sound of the sea calling to me. Old man passing by, tell me what you say. Though your voice be faint, I am listening. Voices in the sky. Children with the skipping rope, tell me what you sing. Playtime is nearly gone, the bell's about to ring. Voices in the sky. Just what is happening to me? I lie awake with the sound of the sea calling to me. Tell me what you sing. If you could talk to me,
What news would you bring of voices in the sky?
Listen, this is a little bit like cheating. This isn't the time for me to be recording, but I am. I'm outside the Red Church. It's a gallery space, coffee shop. God, I hope they have alcohol license. I don't know. Didn't see any signs. But we're a little early, and they are fixing up the gallery space so that we can all move in there and have some lunch, brunch, and record our live podcasts here in downtown, beautiful downtown Hamilton. I just had to step out. It's a gorgeous day. And there's kind of a main drag walkway, you know, what do you call it? Like a boulevard where you have traffic on the other side and a wide expanse of pavement and trees and monuments, street lamps. It's kind of lovely. And I just had to get out and get some fresh air while everybody else sits inside and waits for them to call us in. Gorgeous morning. I really don't have anything to say. I just felt this was a good sort of introduction to what will be a long string of live podcasts. I hope to do one with Brent. And we'll see what happens there. We'll see what happens there. Okay, I guess that's it. I just wanted to just to check in. I just could not. I when there's a space and nothing's happening and the conversations are not flowing as they were last night, I just need to get out and be in the fresh air. Oh, it's gorgeous, and I love the thrill. The excitement of being in a different place. The fact that we're in Hamilton is what makes this cool. And the places are different, and it's not a place we normally come to. And it's drawing people from Guelph and from Hamilton and from Toronto and, wow, Ohio. So this is great. All right, that's it. Otherwise, it just becomes, like accused Anthony's Yacht Rock station, it just becomes diarrhea. Scabber Dude, signing off, and back at you real soon. Check, check, check. Scarper Dude here. Ooh, maybe I should be Ken. Apparently, Scarper Dude is a racist. Ken's okay. But anyway, we'll set that aside for now. I just learned that this weekend. And what a weekend it was. And I guess that's what I have to talk about here. I To get started, I always need to say where I am and what I'm doing and why I'm here. I'm at Staples because I needed some printing, because remember I didn't buy a printer because it was a ridiculous waste of money and I can just put things on a USB stick and bring them here and Bob's your uncle. So, that's number one. And number two, I just realized yesterday when I was helping my son with some documentation to get airport clearance security, you've got to do an awful lot of paperwork and fill things out, and he doesn't remember at all this particular dates for this job, that job. Anyway, he did the best he could, and while I was going through all kinds of papers and old bus passes and things that, you know, sort of support his identity, who he was and where he was, because he doesn't have a health card now. He doesn't have a valid passport, doesn't have a driver's license. It gets tricky, you know, for ID. Anyway, I found my own passport and realized, oh my God, it expired in March. And that would have been an unpleasant surprise. Well, I mean, I would have checked before I crossed the border, but still, I'm within the right time frame. If it's less, it been expired for less than a year, it's a little easier in terms of filling out the paperwork, I think. Maybe even cheaper. I don't know, $160 for a 10-year. So while I was here at Staples, I realized they do passport photos. And I thought, why the hell not? You know, maybe it's $5 somewhere else and it's $14 here. I'll take the $14, thank you, I'm here, and go straight to the passport office and get that done. So anyway, now that we've established all of that, God damn, what a pain. Is that some kind of burden to have to justify everything? While I wait, I thought I'd give a little update on the weekend, and what a weekend it was. Great people. And I guess here's some standouts for me. Everybody is eccentric. Everybody is weird in this group. And weird has never been a bad thing. I mean, I'm attracted to weird people. I mean, the so-called normal people are pretty boring, or the people who are afraid to show their freak flag, you know. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time with them. So, people I got to know better. Now, of course, if I single out names, you want to know really weird. Oh my God, that Oliver Rockslide guy. The thing is, I didn't know him as well the first time we met, and you know, I could feel the distance. And this time, spent more time talking with him and listening and sharing and really enjoying the conversation and feeling very comfortable with him. So, I feel closer, and knowing him more as a person and as this individual, this unique individual, and look forward to the next time when, you know, that bond will strengthen even further. And of course, well, you know, if I do this, I got to go through everybody because nobody can be left out. And so I'm just giving examples. The people I interacted with, I just got to know better. And that's what the weekend is all about. It's conversation, interacting, sharing, and just being who you are. And a lot of us know each other already to a large degree from our podcast, but often the podcast puts out one side, maybe a humorous side, maybe a serious side. And, of course, we are multifaceted. So this weekend gives a chance for people to be literally three-dimensional. And maybe beyond that. So great fun, great fun. Hats off, as always, to Anthony for pulling it off once again. And I got to say this, and Anthony will back me up on this. Thank you, Hamilton. What a great city. The people, when we talk about, say, the Red Church that we did our Saturday Live podcasting, what a great find. The people behind the bar, behind the counter, who are serving the beer and serving the food and serving that, oh my God, unbelievable banana bread with chocolate chips. Oh, was that ever good. Pulse toke, mind you, it's like a turkey sandwich. Wow, they can be really good when you're high. But that, oh. And I ate my sandwich. I'll get back to the Red Church. Ate my sandwich on a bench outside the venue because I didn't want to listen to Swims with the Fishes, and interacted with MMD. And some of you who know, there has been a history of tension and unpleasantness and between us, and some people have tried to patch it up and do what they could to get this out of the community. It was a little bit like a poison. And I feel he and I, together, alone, without help, got comfortable together, got to a point where we could talk, and it was no longer uncomfortable, and we would no longer have to avoid eye contact. I think when I arrived, I don't think we even greeted each other. And by the end, I was handing him a pamphlet from my church to give to his girlfriend. So that may be a regression, that may be progress, I don't know. But it was good. So maybe focus on the people I didn't know. And of course, there's Stephanie, who I insisted on calling Penelope. They seem to go together. I laugh. She is a character with her sparkly sunglasses. And to see the two of them together in a photo, my God, the difference in size is quite amazing. And of course, I'm talking about her boyfriend, the other Jason. Who I also got closer to in a funny way. I think, I'll be honest, I'll be open here. I think other Jason is never quite sure what to make of me. How much of a creep am I, really? And maybe if not creep, jerk? No, maybe not jerk. How dangerous am I? Maybe that was it. And of course I'm not, and he knows that now. I should. I'm quite harmless. I think he even said that. So that was also quite wonderful. But basically, I mean, that's it. It's just time spent together with no pretensions, no need to prove anything, no need to show off. Just hang out. And hanging out in wonderful places, for example, the aforementioned Red Church, you know, community, I don't know, art gallery or whatever, gallery maybe. The people behind the bar were so nice and so laid back. And that's not something you see in Toronto. It's people have to be. There's just, you know, there's too many people, too many artists, too many pretentious people, too many people maybe in fear, and I feel sorry for them because nobody wants to be that way, but people sort of have to be to prove that they're somebody. And Hamilton is just a lot more cooler and a lot more laid back, and I think that's what makes MMPR so special, is the fact that it is held in Hamilton. Maybe if we go back to PAB, I mean, the fact that PAB was held in Kingston, certainly at the start, is what made it very special. And I, for one, was one of the people who didn't want to move to Ottawa, even though it worked out very well. And it is also the reason I so much want to have some kind of an event sometime in Windsor, for the very same reasons, to discover more of Canada's gems, you know. It could work, but it would take a concerted effort on the part of people living there, and unless they step up, that means Tom, that means Shane and friends around them, unless they step up and actually plan something as Anthony does, it ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna happen. Okay, so anyway, I guess my passport photos are almost done. I just wanted to say how grateful I am for being part of this. There were times when I felt on the fringe, but I always have been anyway throughout most of my life. I mean, it really, not the odd man out, but hey, I am older, although John is catching up. John, by the way, of course, took some just great photos, and one of me, I felt embarrassed because I made it my profile picture, and as soon as you change your profile picture, something comes up, and I delete it. No, I don't want to announce this, I've changed my profile picture, but it seemed that announcement went out anyway somehow when people were liking it. But I was quite flattered by it. I look like I'm not just an old man out of it. Not yet in my wheelchair. It felt good. And the other photos of people, and a couple of photos I took of people. Candace. I had a wonderful chat with Candace, which I don't normally get to. We discovered, of course, we have country music in common, and Cocaine and Rhinestone, the podcast I raved about. So this is, you know, and part of it is that it's a movable feast. You sit around, you change your seating. It's got to be flexible seating, and you end up talking with different people. So I go down the table, I look, and of course our all the Youpers coming all the way from there, who are now in Ottawa or Montreal, meeting Kathy, and that makes it a richer experience for them. This was just part of a journey, meeting up with their Canadian friends and family, in a sense, community anyway, and that's great. I've already scolded the Youper for picking up a fat tab when he didn't have to on the Friday night at the One Duke, but anyway, don't do that again, Michael. And what else to add? Again, it's not a question of who I'm leaving out, it's the incidents, but all of it, great fun, and I sure hope the next one lands at a time when before my students arrive, so I too can get there and enjoy it. And that's what's been happening so far. Have not missed one yet. And that too is a great thing. All right, gonna go get my photos and cobble together this. Oh, by the way, we did record a gappage, and you'll probably hear that before you hear this, or maybe around the same time, who knows. Scarborough Dude, signing out.
Like to get your feet up, watch TV. Sunday roast is something good to eat. Must be lamb today, 'cause beef was last week. Ah, 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 ah. So full of bursting at the seams. Soon you'll start to nod off. Search a lot to work for your Sunday bones. Ah, 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 ah. The days have been set, and you're feeling content, but you weren't worrying long. Still it's quite sad, tomorrow's so bad.
Okay, listen, I just got to give a little P.S. to the last thing. I think I mentioned I was here for my passport photos. I went back in. The young lady behind the counter apologized and said they were a little blurry, would have to do it again. And so I was joking with her. Now, I don't know how to bring this up without seeming awkward and clumsy and so on, but she's a young lady wearing a black headscarf and so on, but the whole face is free, and she always has a nice smile, and she's been working here for a while, and she's helped me out before. And I don't know drawing attention to the fact that either, oh, well, the guy was black and he was really nice or something like that, again, makes the Scarborough dude seem kind of racist. But I want to point that out because when I left and the manager was standing there, I talked to the manager and said, I really want to point out that that staff member, not because she was wearing a headscarf, because she was just doing her job and served me with a smile and was so nice, I wanted him to know that I had really good service today. Now, I'm adding that because when I came back the second time for the photos, which I've just got for my passport, I said, you know, can I pay with my iPhone, which I've never done? And she said, sure. Well, first thing is, I can't find the app, and I'm scrolling through five pages of apps, and I can't find the wallet. And she said, well, could I help you? And sure enough, we dig into a folder. Why my wallet would be hidden in my travel folder, I'm just going to take it out now, it's ridiculous. Like, it doesn't belong in a travel folder. This is why I couldn't find it. So now I'm trying to, here, get rid of it, get it out. All right. Give it a place by itself there. So next time I'll find it. So first of all, I couldn't find it. And then I lost it. Then it needed Touch ID with the print, and I couldn't. I had never done this before, and I was a mess. Like, this is clearly a case of, here's an old guy who doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. And she was very patient and smiling and helping. Well, try this. No, you have to tap that. And I do. You mean I tap the machine? No, you tap your phone. Hold it up to the, you know, machine where you can see your bill. We finally got it through. Honestly, it was the most awkward. If oh my God, thank God somebody like Brent wasn't watching, because it would never be forgotten. It would never be unraced. It would be, oh my God, this dude is an old man, an incompetent old man. But we did it, and she helped. And it was just one of those experiences in Scarborough that I kind of cherish. It was kind of friendly, and I know that she had fun serving me and felt good. And it was just one of those things that I talk about that, to me, are so important. Pleasant exchanges with people while they're working. Okay? So, that's all I wanted to say. And she was very young. She seemed like a high school kid, and I guess me a little older than that. But anyway, it was pleasant. Jesus Christ. I felt I had to tell you that. Now I'm all defensive because some people, I'm afraid, might call me. I'm a white, you know, what's her headscarf got to do with anything? I probably wouldn't have said that if she was wearing a full burqa and I could only see her eyes. No, I'd be making a big fuss. I wouldn't go to her. I'd go to somebody else. There. Jesus Christ. All right. Anyway, we'll get that sorted later. And clearly, we are back onto a Scarborough Dude podcast, and we're no longer just doing Hamilton because I'm home. All right. I'm signing off. Bye.
Now you know how nice it feels. Scatter good seed in the field. Life's ours for the making. Eternal edges waiting. Show your friends that you and me belong to the same world. Turn on to the same world. Have you heard? Have you heard?